The 2016 presidential election will soon have its first official party nominee, and it won't be Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, or Bernie Sanders, but a Libertarian. The Libertarian National Convention is set for Memorial Day weekend in Orlando. More than a dozen candidates are running, including John McAfee of antivirus software fame and Libertarian media entrepreneur Austin Peterson. And New Mexico's former Republican Governor Gary Johnson, who today named former Massachusetts Republican Governor William Weld as his running mate. Gary Johnson joins us from Salt Lake City. Welcome.
Jeremy, great to be with you.
Well, do you think you can really win the presidency? Is that what this is about? Do you want to go all the way to the White House?
Well, I wouldn't be doing it if that weren't a possibility. But the only possibility that a third party has of winning is to be in the presidential debates. I think significant is the fact that as a third party, Libertarian Party is going to be on the ballot in all 50 states. So when you talk about a third party as the Libertarian nominee, and I hope to be the Libertarian nominee, I'm going to be the only third party guy on the ballot in all 50 states. If you had all the money in the world starting tomorrow, you wouldn't be on the ballot in all 50 states.
Well, what case would you make to Libertarians who are listening to you about why it should be you and not the other candidates running to be the nominee of the Libertarian Party for president?
Well, I think I've got a really unique package. I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. I did serve two terms as governor of New Mexico in a state that's heavily Democratic. I made a name for myself being a penny pincher, just being austere with funds. I made a name for myself vetoing legislation. I may have vetoed more legislation than the other 49 governors in the country combined.
So you look at vetoing a bunch of legislation as a badge of honor?
Well, yes, from the standpoint of if at the end of the day all that the legislation does is add time and money to our lives, really, is it political or— Oh, really? Does it just end up adding time and money? And then we do have the highest incarceration rate of any country in the world. I refuse to believe that we're any less law-abiding in this country, but those are laws that end up getting passed. And you know what? Under the wrong set of circumstances, you and I end up in jail because of some of these laws. So I always viewed it from that standpoint.
You announced today that Governor Bill Weld, former governor of Massachusetts, is going to be your running mate. He's going to run as the vice president for the Libertarian Party if you get the nomination. Why Weld?
I am just ecstatic beyond belief. As governor of New Mexico, we intersected as governors, and Bill was the smartest guy in the room. I held him up as a role model. I mean, what he was doing very simply was just what I tried to do, just bring a common sense approach to everything that was going on. And of course, getting elected two terms in Massachusetts and being a self-declared Republican libertarian, standing up for gay rights, standing up for a woman's right to choose, saying that he supported medical marijuana at that time, and I'm talking about the mid-90s, that should have done him in as the potential ambassador to Mexico. I looked at him as my plight within the Republican Party. And the fact that he wants to do this, it's unbelievable. It's beyond my wildest dreams.
You mentioned marijuana there, and I want to ask you how much of your campaign is about that, is about the legalization of marijuana. How big of an issue is that for you?
Well, it's an issue that everybody focuses on because in 1999, I was the highest elected official in the United States to call for the legalization of marijuana. I think that was good news in 99. Bad news is in 2016, I'm still the highest elected official to call for the legalization of marijuana, although I guess Bernie Sanders has now embrace this in his running for president, which is great. I mean, to bring awareness to this, the war on drugs is insane, and it has resulted, in my opinion, it's at the root of Black Lives Matter. It's at the root of why police forces have militarized themselves. It's at the root of why we have the highest incarceration rate of any country in the world.
Do you think other drugs should be legalized besides marijuana?
I am not advocating the legalization of other drugs, but starting off with looking at other drugs and decriminalizing drug use is really a good start. These are health issues. These are not criminal justice issues.
What would you do on the issue of immigration, and especially with the millions of people who are in this country without documentation right now?
Well, it's an issue that really has its roots in just misunderstanding, misinformation. Let's embrace immigration for what it is. It's really a good thing. We're a country of immigrants. We should make it as easy as possible for somebody that wants to come into this country and work to be able to get a work visa. And a work visa should entail a background check and a Social Security card that applicable taxes get paid. They are the cream of the crop when it comes to workers. They're not murderers and rapists. Statistically, they commit far less crime than U.S. citizens.
But what about the people who are here illegally?
Well, that's also another big misunderstanding, a big misconception. They're here illegally because they can't get across the border to take jobs that are here. There's not a moving line to get across the border. So in many cases, we're talking about mothers with their children that are waiting across the Rio Grande to take a job that exists over in El Paso from Juarez. Look, back to this work visa idea. Get a line moving that comes across the border. They'll stand in that line.
So for people that have done that, you don't have a problem with that? You don't have a problem with people who have come over without papers and things?
Well, they shouldn't have, but they have. So there needs to be a process whereby the 11 million that are here right now can basically show up and get a work visa immediately if they've been law-abiding for the time that they've spent in the United States.
What about the issue of taxes? You've talked here about your desire for lower taxes and a smaller federal government, but what would you cut specifically?
Well, by cut, look, I think we should simplify the tax system. I'm going to sign on to anything that reduces taxes. But ideally, we would have reform of the tax system that would eliminate income tax, corporate tax. Because we would do that, we could also abolish the IRS, and we can replace it with one federal consumption tax, which would be very fair. It would be revenue neutral. And imagine life without the IRS. Imagine no corporate tax when it comes to the impact on jobs in this country. Tens of millions of jobs would get created in this country for no other reason than zero corporate tax.
But how would you pay for defense, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and all the other things that the taxes help pay for?
Well, that would come out of a consumption tax, one single federal consumption tax that would replace income tax, corporate tax, revenue neutral.
But the people who don't like that kind of idea, though, will always say that it's bad for the poor because they're going to pay more than they would right now because there's not a tax system that allows them to pay less on certain things than the rich, for example.
Well, you can look at the fair tax, and really there are no fair taxes, but you can look at the fair tax proposal, the way that the fair tax deals with what you've just said, which is that a consumption tax is regressive for the poorest, is that they issue a prebate check to all Americans, which allow all Americans to pay the consumption tax up to the point of the poverty level. That's how they deal with that.
What about on the issue of national security? What would you do about what's going on in Syria, for example, or Libya and some of the other troubled countries in that region right now?
Well, first of all, if we're attacked, we should attack back. But I am a real skeptic when it comes to our military interventions. I think our military interventions, that would be boots on the ground, that would be dropping bombs, that would be flying drones that are killing thousands of innocent people. I think the effect of these military interventions are that they've made things worse, not better.
Gary Johnson, I finally want to just play you a clip that I was frankly surprised to hear, especially after hearing you talk today. But this is something that you said at the Libertarian debate in February.
I've climbed the seven summits, the highest mountain on each continent. Donald Trump's a
Is that the kind of tone that you want to take in this campaign?
No, it's not, Jeremy. Really, it was an attempt at humor, and it was really a misfire. I'm better than that, and I apologize for doing that.
As you look at your potential opponents at this point, are you worried about being a spoiler?
No, actually, in the polls that I have appeared in, and the latest one was yesterday, it was an actual Fox poll at which I was at 10% against Hillary and Trump. Really, I pull equally from both sides on a couple of earlier polls. The key, again, is being in the polls, and I'm not in all the polls. But the Presidential Debate Commission says you have to be at 15% in the polls to be in the presidential debates. So I pull equally from both sides, or in the analysis of a couple of these polls, I actually pull more from Hillary than Trump.
That's Gary Johnson, a former governor of New Mexico and Libertarian candidate for president, or could be the Libertarian candidate for president if he gets that nomination at the convention next weekend. Governor, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you very much.
And by the way, if you want to know what that word was we bleeped out, Google it.